So here I am, sitting in my living room, approaching 6 p.m., got a prayer meeting at 7, got to be someplace at 8:30 across town, not been able to do a podcast with our friends lately. Everyone's been busy, everyone's got something going on, and that's understandable. So I'm going to have to go solo, at least this time. And I try to stay away from politics, but I don't know how possible that's going to be here in today's society. I don't know how possible that's going to be, because there's really a lot of crazy stuff going on in our society. Just in general, just being able to speak about, you know, rationally talk about life and our thoughts and everything do eventually affect our politics. It's just what it is. You're going to espouse certain values. It's going to affect the way that you vote. It's going to affect who you vote for. Is it a shame that we can't have exactly what we want based on our own personal beliefs and values? I think so, yeah. I think it is kind of shameful having a two-party system with, you know, this is your choice between two people. I just posted something on Facebook today, and I'll read it to you, actually. It says here, far right and far left, as if to think government can only go in two directions. How absurd, how childish, how unintelligent. You know, as if you espouse certain beliefs, then you're also of the party that espouses certain evil things. And if you espouse certain beliefs on the other side, you don't espouse anything evil, right? Another good example is this term fascism, right? And so people say, well, let's define fascism, right? Let's just define it. You can't define fascism correctly anyways. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because the term itself didn't really come to fruition until Benito Mussolini took over Italy. Okay, it was his idea. It was his way of packaging whatever he wanted people to think about what he was going to do for Italy. Okay, there's no real history beyond that, right? All outside of maybe if you did a little bit of research about squadrismos, you want to go do some research about squadrismos. Okay, about organizing people into these little cells of bullies that go around bullying people because they don't espouse their political beliefs. If anybody behaved that way, right, if there's a group of people who espouse bullying other people to acknowledge or to adhere to their political ideologies and their value system, shaming people publicly, throwing drinks in people's faces, puffing their chest at folks and starting fights. I can promise you it's not the people on the right. It's not. Not comparatively. I'm sure there's people on the right who do dumb things. I hate to say the right either. I'm sure there's people who disagree with those value systems, you know, that may perform some of those actions, but not to the level of what's happening right now with the Democrat Party. No, not even close. That they're going around sending young people around with masks on their face. That's what they did in Italy when Benito Mussolini started fascism. He had young men, young disenfranchised men who just come back from the war. They were, I don't know if disenfranchised is the right word, but, you know, dissatisfied with life, having a hard time getting a job. So they were disgruntled. I guess a better word would be disgruntled. And they were looking for some kind of change. And young people are always, you know, they can get excited about a movement. And so these people started dressing up in black outfits and going around. That's right, the original fascists dressed up in black outfits and went around in the streets bullying people to stop them from promoting their political ideology. And that's exactly what the Democrats are doing right now with the quote-unquote, the stupidity, the absolute audacity to call yourself anti-fascist while you are doing fascist activities, while you are literally reenacting what fascists did in Italy back in the 30s. It's just appalling. It's absolutely appalling. So, anywho's, I'm gonna go. I go to a search engine, and I don't even want to say the names of these search engines anymore because they're all biased. Every single one of them. Every single one of them has, you know, definitions of things that, again, like I said, how can you define fascism outside of what Benito Mussolini did? That's pretty much the only place that you're going to get a definition of fascism, because it was his idea. I don't even think you could honestly, you know, take the word fascism and apply it to the Nazis, because the Nazis did their own thing. They did their own thing, and they had their own names for things, and fascism was something that was extremely particular to Italy and Benito Mussolini, okay? If Adolf Hitler saw it and he liked it and he adopted some of the practices, that doesn't mean that he was fascist, because it was a very what's kind of like a very designer type name for that type of behavior. I mean, you want to give a designer name to the fact that you're bullying people, a designer name to the fact that you used certain tactics, certain ugly tactics to get your way politically, and give it a name or whatever. Who cares what name you give it? You know, would you consider, you know, any, I don't want to even get off on it, but going back to the dumb definitions that you find online, you know, fascism is a far right. What in the world is far right? Far right and far left. What is that anyways? How is government only like in two directions? It's either right or it's left, you know? Government goes in many directions. There's many different types of governments out there. Communism, socialism, feudalism, totalitarianism, dictatorships, monarchies, and you name it. There's all kinds of... I'm not even a historian. I'm not even some kind of person who's, like, totally versed in politics, and I could sit here and name off at least seven different types of governments that go in way different directions than just two directions. Fascism is a far-right, dumb statement. Authoritarian. Yeah, so who's authoritarian, right? What is authoritarian? What does the word authoritarian even mean? It means you do what I tell you to do. Well, I want to ask everyone who's listening right now, who has been telling people what they need to do? Who is the party that's been telling people, you better do this and you better do that, or else you don't get to participate? You better wear a mask. You better take a vaccine, or else we'll ostracize you. You better do this and you better do that. That's definitely not the Republican Party. Not that I'm some great Republican Party advocate, but that's not what's been going on lately. Authoritarianism, authoritarian-like. Here's the next one, ultra-nationalist. See, this is another thing about these definitions, is that they'll take ugly terms, and then they'll take terms that are really kind of neutral, and they'll mix them together and say, well, if you're for this neutral idea, we're just going to pile you in with all these negative ideas also. So if you're an ultra-nationalist, if you happen to have pride in your country and pride in your flag and pride in your nation and pride in the history of your country, and you want to promote your own country, that somehow you're automatically lumped into this other category of people who are evil and persecute folks and do evil things, which is... that's absurd. It's just stupid, right? It's like no matter how many good things you want to stand for, as long as I lump those things into some other ugly idea, I can label you as something ugly, which only dumb people fall for that stuff. See, that's another thing, too, is that no one thinks for themselves anymore. They don't think for themselves at all. They can't critically think about anything. They're just stupid people that just listen and do whatever. Even in our colleges, no one is learning anything. They're not actually learning how to think. All they're doing is learning how to regurgitate whatever somebody else has said. And then they have the audacity to walk out of those environments, those colleges or whatever, those institutions of higher education, and they flaunt the fact that they got a piece of paper that says they have an education, and really all they have is just a bunch of doctrine that's been crammed down their throat that they're going to regurgitate and repeat, but even they can't articulate it themselves. That's why you can watch these man on the street videos and watch these people, you know, get asked serious questions about what they believe and ask them to articulate about it, and they can't. You know, they know the talking points. You know, they know what they're supposed to believe. But as soon as you say, give me an example of it, they're like, you don't have an answer because you don't really know. You don't really know what you believe. Most people are dummies. Most people are stupid. They don't think for themselves. So there's nothing wrong with being ultra-nationalist. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Okay, political ideology and movement characterized by a dictatorial leader, going back to authoritarianism, dictatorial, someone who takes control of everything and tells everybody what they're going to do. Okay, who's been doing that lately? Who's been saying, well, if you don't vote for me, you're not this or that or the other. You will vote for me. You will do this. You will be this. You will go here. You'll go there. You know, that's dictatorial. Centralized autocracy, okay? What does centralized autocracy mean? Well, let's even just look at that. Let's look at the word autocracy before I start talking about it so I make sure I know what I'm saying. A system of government by one person with absolute power. We don't have a government with one person with absolute power. We've already proven that. We've proven that over and over and over again. We have a Congress. We have one person who's in executive power. They have limited executive powers. And then we have a Congress, which is representative people from every state of the union. And then we have a judiciary branch of government, the Supreme Court, which can make decisions about the law. So each and every one of these government agencies balances each other out. And that's the reason why some people in some of these parties are upset with the judiciary system, because it's not making decisions that they want. And the reality is, the reason it's not making decisions that they want is because it's a balanced representation of the last three presidents that we've had, right? Three or four presidents that we have, it's represented by these people that you just can't get rid of, right? And so therefore, you have this tug of war in the court that can, you know, start trying to balance between, you know, two different ideologies or whatever and come up with the best median answer for it. So we don't have an autocracy here in the United States of America, and God forbid we ever do. But just because somebody wants to make decisions, wants to do things, they still got to get the approval of these other bodies of leadership in our nation. They just can't do whatever they want. And that goes for both sides, even though that's not what's happening in the Democrat Party right now. They're just cramming everything. That's one thing you can give the Democrats kudos for. They have solidarity. Us people on the right, we can't get together and support anything, right? We've all got to have our differences or whatever. And yet these Democrats, you can have Muslims and homosexuals get together, two different types of people with two absolutely different ideologies that would be at each other's throat, can get together for politics' sake and work in unison to get what they want through. And yet here we are on the right. The right. It's like this stuff is crammed in our heads, and I want to try to evacuate it from my mind. But, you know, people who have a different value system, we cannot join forces for one common good. Militarism, which means making your government have military power so that it can exercise what it wants in the world. Well, absolutely we should have military power. What's wrong with military power? To defend our borders, to defend our people and our nation, to defend our interests abroad. We should have military power. If we didn't have military power, people would come right in up to our doorstep and just do whatever they wanted to do. They'd wipe us out. So there's nothing wrong with militarism. There's nothing wrong with us growing our military. We live in a world of conflict. We live in a world of conflict. It's not going to change, okay? It's not going to change no matter how much you grasp your hands together and clench them and grit your teeth and sweat. It's not going to change the fact that we live in a world of war and a world of different ideologies that are competing against each other. So obviously we have to have a military to protect our values, to protect our beliefs, to protect our people. What's the next one? Forcible suppression of opposition. Well, who does that? Who does forceful suppression of the opposition? I was just talking about using Google as a search engine. I just posted something about Google as a search engine. Let me go see if I can read it here, if I could use my mouse. Sorry for the wait here. Let me go to this comment that I made. Listen to this. Google is curated, it's pruned, and it's biased. What does that mean? It means there's people who pick and choose what you get to see. It's not just a representation of the internet anymore. There are people who literally hide things away and show things as they see fit for their agenda. Things don't meet their narrative are hidden away. No matter how popular or true they are, Google will exaggerate, highlight, promote to the level of hyperbole anything that diminishes their opponents or elevates their choice. So if it's for their story, they're going to make sure you see it. If it's not for, if it makes the opposite side look bad, you're going to see it, right? You're not going to see anything good for the people that are opponents to what Google thinks you should know, which goes for mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, any of these news affiliates out there, just even Fox News. They're all going to promote something that they think is socially acceptable in the world, which is sad because there are people who are winning the culture war against Christianity right now in this nation. They're winning the culture war, and they're finding ways to be able to start acting like the communist Chinese did when the communist revolution came to China, where they can go and they can put the dunce caps on adults and shame them publicly. So that's what happened in China. The kids, the young adults, could take the adults publicly out in front of everybody, put paper dunce hats on them, and shame them publicly in front of everybody, right? So that's what they're doing today. That's the exact same thing that they're doing today. Bullies and attacking the elderly people of the nation when they should be honoring their elderly people. Belief in a natural social hierarchy. Well, I'm going back to the definition of fascism. Belief in a natural social hierarchy. Of course there's a natural social hierarchy. There has to be a level of order, or else we would live in chaos. If there wasn't any type of order in our society, then we would live in total chaos. People would be able to come and go into other people's houses, take whatever they wanted. You'd have no rights. You would have no ability to, you know, defend yourself. Subordination of individual interests to the perceived good of the nation. Well, we don't necessarily do that in the United States of America, but what's wrong with people promoting that we should? Even JFK said that, didn't he? Wasn't that the great quote from the great Democratic Party leader, JFK, John F. Kennedy? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country, right? And he was a loser himself. But anywho, everyone seems to think he's some deity of government leadership. Even he said, you know, you should be doing what's best for the greater good. So there's nothing wrong with that part. And again, it goes back to this lumping certain ideas in with other ideas, you know, so there's this hodgepodge of, oh, you like the flag of the United States of America. Oh, then that also means that you're, like to put Jews in concentration camps. You gotta laugh at this stuff. It's just so stupid. Strong was this interest perceived good of the nation or race and strong regimentation of society and economy. We're not racist. And this whole thing about people who support Trump are racist, that's just the dumbest thing ever. We're not racist. But I tell you, I know why they think we're racist, because they're racist. You know, the Democrat Party, most of the people who believe in that ideology, they love to project their problems, right? They love to project their mental state. That, oh, well, I know that deep down inside of me, I'm talking as a Democrat, I'm afraid of these people because of the color of their skin, and I don't trust them or whatever. So I know that everybody else thinks the way that I do. No, they don't. They don't think the way that you do. Well, I'm guilty. I feel bad for being the color skin that I am. And therefore, I could see how I owe these people something. No, everybody doesn't think like that. They don't. That's you and your racist problem. Regimentation of society and economy. Well, you know, I don't know what else to say about that. That's kind of getting into the idea of, you know, something like Sparta, you know, where the whole society is only working together societally together. And that might work in a comic book by Frank Miller, but it's not going to work in real life, okay? Sparta might work in a comic book, but even Sparta got destroyed by the Syrians, right? They still got destroyed. And there's a lot of things in life that, you know, are utopia. There's no utopia. That's another good topic that could get talked about. And I don't know, how much time do I have? How long have I been at this so far? Yeah, I'm going to go short on this one. I'm going to talk about utopia and then I'm going to call it quits before I get myself in real trouble. There's no utopia on Earth. This concept that we can bring some kind of utopia to Earth outside of God and outside of Christ is a fallacy. It's just a fallacy. Even in Christ, people have to conform themselves to the image of Christ. God doesn't enforce his righteousness on people. People enforce his righteousness on their own lives to subject themselves to what God wants in their life. That is a personal choice, right? It's a personal choice for people to subject themselves to the will of God. And if people don't want to do that, they don't have to, right? But we do have governments in place that do have certain rules, which are, as the Bible says, all governments are there to, you know, enforce laws. To enforce laws, you know, to say that people can't go and murder other folks and they can't rob other people. And they can't physically abuse other people. That's what you need government for, right? That's why God has ordained and allowed governments to exist in our society today, is so that they can enforce the laws of God to an extent to facilitate order in society. That's the bottom line. And the closer those rules are to godly rules, the greater the prosperity and the greater the prosperity of the nation, period. And the further people get away from those values, the more corrupt and destroyed and chaotic and abusive to other people the society is going to become. There's no utopia on Earth. There's not going to be a utopia on Earth until Jesus Christ returns. There's not going to be a utopia on Earth until Jesus Christ comes and returns to rule on Earth. I don't want to get into a Bible study about it, but until that day comes, there's no amount of effort that we can put forward that's going to cause the world to stop being what the world is. It's up to us to band together as Christians and do the best that we can in today's society to lead other people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to lead other people to the good news of the Lord. And if they don't accept it, that's their prerogative. They can do that. But not to be in a society where, you know, well, instead of just, you know, not accepting what you have to say as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as the Bible is concerned, but not only that, we're going to start shutting you up, right? Now, they're not attacking Muslims. Let me tell you something, people. These people that are attacking Christians, they're cowards, every last one of them. They're all cowards. They're not going to go, you know, if there's something like abortion, say, you know, Muslims don't believe in abortion. You know, they're not going to allow that stuff, right? You don't see these people going out and attacking the Muslims. You know why? It's simple. They're cowards, period. That's what they are. They want to pick on people that they know they can pick on. Anywho, I have exhausted myself in this last 20-some-odd minutes, and it has been quite a bit of a rant, but it was something that was on my mind, and I thought I'd get it off my chest. So I appreciate you guys. Hopefully we can get some co-hosts on here and have a better conversation with a little bit more cheer. And until that time comes, good day.